This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
No more masks on planes. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Tuesday, April 19th. Thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
After a ruling by a federal judge, the TSA says it will no longer enforce a federal mask mandate. All major airlines have dropped the requirement.
Ukrainian officials say Russia has begun a new military offensive in the eastern part of the country, even though attacks continue elsewhere.
If you thought mail delivery was already slow, it's about to get worse. The Postal Service says it's deliberately slowing times for first-class packages to save money.
And the American workplace undergoing a seismic shift when it comes to benefits.
What really struck out to me is how many employers have started to shift from those emergency pandemic benefits that many employers rolled out to more permanent and mindful perks and programs that really help employees long term.
Megan Lenhart at Fortune on pandemic perks becoming permanent employee support. The Transportation Security Administration will no longer enforce the Biden administration's mask mandate on public transportation. The decision by the TSA came after a federal judge in Florida ruled the CDC had overstepped its authority with a national COVID mask mandate for planes and other forms of public transportation. Reaction from this traveler at LaGuardia Airport in New York City.
Glad because it's kind of annoying, but insecure because you never know who's going to sit next to you and have COVID.
U.S. District Judge Catherine Kimball Mizell in Tampa said the CDC failed to adequately explain its reasons for the mandate and did not allow public comment in violation of federal procedures for new rules. United, Delta, American, Southwest, JetBlue, Frontier, and Alaska Airlines among the carriers that said effective immediately, masks would no longer be required on domestic flights or certain international flights. However, the CDC continues to recommend that people wear masks on public transit. The agency wanted the mask mandate to remain in place until May 3rd. Overseas now, Russia has launched its anticipated offensive in eastern Ukraine. In announcing the latest phase of the war, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said that Russia has deployed more military forces and equipment in and around the region in recent days. A U.S. Defense Department official says Russia has added about 11 battalion tactical groups and as many as 11,000 troops. A combination of Russian military stumbles and stronger-than-expected Ukrainian resistance helped Kyiv thwart Russia's push on the capital and other parts of the country. State Department spokesman Ned Price.
We will continue to escalate our financial sanctions and other economic measures against the Russian Federation until and unless Moscow relents in its campaign against Ukraine. We have not yet seen that and will continue to raise the costs.
Yesterday, there were Russian missile strikes on the western Ukrainian city of Lviv near Poland's border. Some call that shaping operations designed to hurt Ukraine's ability to resupply combat forces before a major offensive in the east. Well, President Biden and his administration have committed nearly $2.6 billion in U.S. military aid to Ukraine since Russia's invasion 2 months ago, supplying a range of weapons for Ukraine's defense against Russian aggression. How the spending breaks down from Joey Garrison, White House reporter at USA Today. Joey, give us a timeline.
Over the last year since President Biden entered office, his administration is now authorized over $3 billion, $3.2 billion to be specific, to Ukraine. Really, we started seeing an uptick in the money going over there beginning in August when Ukrainian President Zelensky visited Washington. And then as Putin started putting Russian troops on the border of Ukraine, the U.S. under Biden started pumping in more money in December.
So give us a feel for the types of things we've done. At times, have we just sent cash, or is this number of $3 billion included in the weaponry?
No, so it's drawdowns of military defense. So these are 1,400 Stinger anti-aircraft systems missiles. In other words, 5,500 Javelin missiles, anti-armor systems, 14,000 of them, as well as 50 million rounds of ammunition, 7,000 small arms weapons. Really, the U.S. is providing a great deal of the equipment that the Ukrainians are using as they defend themselves against Russia. It's sort of been a really historic effort on that front and leading among Western allies in terms of what's been giving over there. And, Zelensky has said from the beginning, and he's been very outspoken about the need that that Ukraine has, and that he's always making the case continually, even with this, what's been given, that more is needed, particularly over this past weekend, as we've seen Russia has kind of broadened again their fighting with an airstrike in Lviv, for example, in Mariupol, perhaps on the brink of collapsing Russia. This need isn't going to go away anytime soon.
We're speaking with Joey Garrison, White House correspondent at USA Today. His story is called U.S. Military Aid to Ukraine Surpasses $3 Billion Under Biden. Here's what's been provided. And by not doing it all at once, do we avoid showing all of our cards? Is that what's happening here?
Well, I think the eventual contribution for the U.S. is going to be so high, I think, that doing it all at once might be just impractical. And I don't think that we really know how long this conflict could continue. I mean, you might have noticed in some of the president's language of late that he's really trying to brace people for a long years type war. And so, as you can imagine, if we've already authorized $2.6 billion worth of defense equipment since February, you can start imagining what that might look like if we're talking a couple of years here.
And we're still not, going to commit to a no-fly zone over Ukraine.
Yeah, so no no-fly zone, as Zelensky has requested. And also, you might recall there's an issue with a deal that Poland had put forward to try to send over jets by using a U.S. air base in Germany, that the Biden administration opposed that because it got into this issue of those those planes coming from a U.S. air base. And then, of course, the other thing that Biden has said from the beginning is that there will not be any American soldiers going to Ukraine.
To finish up, if you would, Joey, how much more could we give realistically?
Well, I mean, the last allocation last week was $800 million, and it's been two of those. I mean, I don't have a number how many billions we're talking about over the long haul. But, I mean, I think, again, if in 3 or 4 months of conflict we've seen about $3 billion, I think you're starting to multiply that over the coming year. I wouldn't expect the Biden administration to just suddenly halt what we've been doing. I think that they're going to continue this kind of aid moving forward.
Thanks, Joey. Joey Garrison, White House reporter at USA Today. Coming up next, the new faces crossing the southern border.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. And in order to maneuver it, you need an expert by your side. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the Windows PC and tech solutions you need to help you get out in front and stay ahead of the game. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Tuesday. New figures from U.S. Customs and Border Protection show officials detained more than 5,000 migrants from Ukraine at the nation's land, sea, and air borders in March, with a significant increase in those seeking refuge at the U.S.-Mexico boundary. We get more from this morning's Dave Duncan.
The roughly 5,000 Ukrainians, up from about 1,100 the month before, marks the first official accounting of Ukrainians seeking refuge at the ports and borders since Russia's invasion began 8 weeks ago. They are a part of a larger group of more than 220,000 detentions on the southwest border in March, the highest monthly total since the year 2000. Many Ukrainians have been released into the United States via humanitarian parole, which allows people to stay temporarily, and they continued arriving this month. Gordon.
Thank you, Dave. The United Nations says 4.9 million people have fled Ukraine, most into neighboring countries. Meanwhile, Texas Governor Greg Abbott says a seventh bus full of undocumented migrants released into his state is on its way to Washington, D.C. He says border checkpoints are struggling to manage the flow of people attempting to enter the U.S. 20 minutes now after the hour on this morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know.
Number one.
The Ukrainian military says Russia's long-expected offensive push into eastern Ukraine has started with intensified assaults in the north and east. State Department spokesman Ned Price.
They are a clear testament to the campaign of brutality, the campaign of terror that the Russians are waging against the people of Ukraine.
The U.S. has flown four military cargo aircraft of security assistance into the region in the last 24 hours. Meanwhile, the United Nations has confirmed 2,072 civilian deaths and over 2,800 injuries in Ukraine since Russia invaded on February 24th.
Number two.
The TSA will not enforce the mask mandate on public transportation after a federal judge in Florida vacated the Biden administration's national COVID mask mandate for planes and other forms of public transportation, ruling that the CDC had overstepped its authority. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
So this is obviously a disappointing decision. The CDC continues recommending wearing a mask in public transit.
The Association of Flight Attendants had recently taken a neutral position on the mask rule because its members are divided about the issue.
Number three.
The calendar may say April, but the weather in the Northeast will be more like February. A winter storm expected to dump heavy snow and rain across the region today. National Weather Service meteorologist David Roth says the Mid-Atlantic is under a flood watch.
Flood watch for portions of the east from Delaware northward through portions of New Jersey, eastern Pennsylvania, you know, just to the southeast of the snow area, and portions of far southeast New York and southwest Connecticut.
Winter weather advisories stretch from West Virginia to parts of New England. Many areas will see 6 to 12 inches of snow, and some spots could see as much as 2 feet. And the Postal Service says it will slow delivery times for nearly a third of all first-class packages as part of its effort to lower costs and reduce its reliance on air transportation. The new service standard, scheduled to go into effect May 1st, will add up to 1 or 2 days to some packages traveling long distances. The longer delivery times, part of the Postal Service's plan to reduce more than $160 billion in projected losses over the next decade.
Got to get those Christmas cards going now.
Yes, right.
Thanks, Jen. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. More than 2 years on from the pandemic, companies are shifting from rolling out emergency benefits to implementing permanent support. Today, the American workplace is undergoing a seismic shift, the likes of which has not seen since World War II. It's a story by Megan Lenhart, writer at Fortune. Megan, what's trending?
So this was actually part of our annual best companies list. And so every year we partner with Great Place to Work and we look at the best companies to work for. And so when we were looking through the list and I was going through and interviewing some of our companies that made into our top 10 this year, what really struck out to me is how many employers have started to shift from those emergency pandemic benefits that many employers rolled out to more permanent and mindful perks and programs that really help employees long term.
Oh, so give an example. What company is doing what?
So it's interesting. Our number one company, Cisco, actually sat there and they have these things called Day for Me. And what it is essentially is an additional paid vacation day to help workers really prioritize self-care. It's a company-wide holiday. So unlike when you or I take a day off and we have so much work that we miss while we're out, this is actually something where the entire company is off. So you don't feel like you're missing work. You don't feel like you have to sit there and jump on emails that you're missing, things of that nature.
That and it's like an anxiety, right? That's seems to be driving people toward these days off.
It is. And we've seen, you know, this across the board, companies really trying to figure out how to make sure people are actually stepping away from work, especially as work has come into our homes, our kitchens, our living rooms, you name it. It feels like we just really have to make sure that we're purposefully creating that work-life balance.
Wow. We're speaking with Megan Lenhart, writer at Fortune.com. Her piece is called The Hottest New Perk in Corporate America, Pay Your Employees to Stop Working. What about the David Weekley Homes that you cited? I think they were number 9 on the list.
They were number 9 on the list. I actually think David Weekley Homes does something that's very interesting. And they give paid sabbaticals. And so there's about 18 of our companies this year that do have some sort of paid sabbatical program. For David Weekley Homes, they actually sit there and provide, you know, a number of financial and well-being benefits, but the sabbaticals are actually anywhere between 4 and 6 weeks. And after you've been with the company for 10 years, you're eligible to take this, and they'll even give you a $2,000 grant to help you pay for, you know, some of the travel or expenses that come with these kind of experiences.
Wow. How about Accenture and the metaverse they use?
It was really interesting. So one of the other trends, in addition to making sure that, you know, we're providing for employee well-being and sort of that holistic approach, is really coming to terms with remote work and sort of that flexibility that we all need to sort of have in order to collaborate across offices, across time zones these days, you name it.
Jeez. So in a lot of these surveys, we as employees say it's the lack of flexibility that really bothers us now. So these examples from like Accenture or David Weekley Homes, Oric, the big law firm, does that address this?
It does. And I think a lot of these firms are really, really focusing on trying to not only address that flexibility, but really bring it to another level. So when I was talking with Cisco, they were really focused on not only sitting there and making sure that, you know, there's some autonomy that employees can have in their workday, but also making sure that when we talk about flexibility, it means so many different things to so many different people.
Thanks, Megan. Megan Lenhart, writer at Fortune. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. The way you use the internet has changed dramatically over the last decade, but security tools for the most part have stayed the same. Between your photos, finances, devices, and connections, your world is more online than ever. Aura provides complete digital security all in one easy-to-use app. Aura protects you from the worst of the internet so you can still enjoy the best of it with digital security protection to keep your online finances, personal info, and tech safe from threats. It gives me peace of mind to know Aura protects me from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and so much more with one simple subscription. All plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds, and experienced U.S.-based customer support is ready to help. For a limited time, Aura is offering our listeners a 30-day free trial when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get complete protection, huge savings, and a 30-day free trial. That's A-U-R-A, aura.com/Gordon. Aura, the new standard in digital security.
Edgy, smart, bringing you what you need to know. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Tuesday, April 19. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka, some of our top stories and headlines. No more masks on airplanes unless you choose to. Russia's new offensive in eastern Ukraine has begun. A winter storm for the northeast will bring snow to the mountains from West Virginia to northwest New England today. During the annual White House Easter egg roll, a person in a bunny costume ushered President Biden away from the crowd when he started talking geopolitics. The NFL has spoken to the Cleveland Browns about tanking, and Mercury in retrograde for an extra time this year, causing Americans to change their plans. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. Ahead of the midterm elections that are expected to hand Republicans control of the House, GOP leader Kevin McCarthy is navigating a complicated path between the Trump wing and moderate Republicans in his bid for leadership. It's a story by David Jackson, national political correspondent at USA Today. David, is he the guy to beat for House Speaker if Republicans win in November?
I would say he's a prohibitive favorite because there's nobody out there who's really in a position to challenge him. But he's got a very big challenge problem, call it what you will, in that some of his members are really on what they call the far right. I mean, we're talking about the Marjorie Taylor Greens and Madison Cawthorns of the world, these very aggressive House Republicans who tend to say outrageous things and do outrageous things. And it creates a problem for McCarthy because he's got to rein them in. And he's also dealing with more moderate Republicans who are constantly complaining about the behavior of some of their more conservative colleagues. So he's trying to maintain a balance basically between his far right and his near right.
And I thought it was interesting, too, because you said since Republicans are widely expected to recapture the House in November, that could mean a new crop of Republican lawmakers who might be anti-establishment and therefore might be anti-Kevin McCarthy.
Right. That's one problem is that you could see the election of more Marjorie Taylor Greene types in the upcoming elections, which would create problems for him. You could also see defeats of some Republicans because of a feeling among voters that the Republicans have become too extreme. That's certainly the argument the Democrats are making, and they're hoping that the antics of the Cawthorns and the Greens of the world can help them get votes in this and basically reduce the potential majority of the Republicans. So there's definitely some risk for McCarthy as he tries to keep this balance.
Yeah. All right. So how does he keep that balance in the coming months? What's he do?
Well, basically what happens is that the members will say something, or like the most recent example is the Green attended and spoke at a white nationalist conference in Florida. So Kevin McCarthy brought her in for a private chat and talked to her about the kind of things she should say, and maybe she shouldn't attend these kind of meetings, basically a hand-holding session, if you will, and to basically pacify Green, but also keep faith with members who feel like Green embarrassed the entire caucus. Boy. And should be punished for that. We had a Madison Cawthorn said on a podcast that he'd seen drug use and had been invited to sexual orgies during his time in Washington. That created quite a flap. So McCarthy brought him in for a counseling session, after which Cawthorn basically said that he'd exaggerated some of what he'd heard. And he also said that this became an issue because the media and the Democrats don't want Kevin McCarthy to become the next speaker. So it's just basically a carefully act of trying to curb the behavior of some of his more conservative members while mollifying more conservatives who believe that these folks should be punished.
Mm. We're speaking with David Jackson, national political correspondent at USA Today. His story is called In Quest to Become House Speaker, Kevin McCarthy Tries to Hold Together a Fractious GOP. Also, wasn't it Matt Gaetz, the congressman from Florida, says he might nominate himself to be speaker if Republicans win?
He might nominate Donald Trump to be speaker if the Republicans win. That's another wrinkle is that you see the occasional challenge to McCarthy flare up, like Matt Gaetz, who is one of the more conservative members, has openly talked about his desire to see Donald Trump become the next Speaker of the House if the Republicans indeed win in the November election. That seems like a far-fetched idea. Trump has repeatedly said he's not interested in the job. I think it's just a way for Gaetz to yank McCarthy's chain. And, it's another example of the kind of challenge he faces, because McCarthy's always going to face criticism either from his far right or from his near right. It's just part of the job. John Boehner went through it and eventually lost his speakership over it. Paul Ryan had a similar experience. So it's just the kind of thing that Republican leaders have to deal with in this modern era.
Boy. So if the election were held today, would Kevin McCarthy win among Republicans as Speaker?
Yes, I would think he would be. It depends somewhat on the margin. If the Republicans take the House by only 15 or 20 votes or so, he could face a threat because that's not a very big number and it wouldn't take many defections to defeat him. If the Republicans win by, if the Republicans have what they think will be a big tsunami and they control the House by 30 or 40 votes, then yes, he's the odds-on favorite to be the next Speaker.
Thanks, David. David Jackson, national political correspondent at USA Today. Coming up next, the Mic Drop.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Hey, thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Tuesday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with the substituting Dave Duncan.
Substituting. Good morning, Gordon. Good morning, all. The revamped USFL launched this weekend with a promise of being new and improved. Apparently, that also meant new and improved ways to get released. Pittsburgh Maulers running back Davion Smith was cut from the team for requesting pizza instead of chicken salad at the team hotel. This comes to us from a documentary called United by Football about the new season where Maulers coach Kirby Wilson sits Smith down and tells him he crossed a line and any disrespect to football or members of the staff, USFL, etc., will not be tolerated. Smith tried to defend himself.
Me saying yes, I don't eat chicken salad. And I was like, is there another option? Walked in with pizza, and I was like, can I get a slice of pizza? He said, no. I was like, he said, is that going to be a problem? I said, yes. So all I said, I didn't say no cuss word, nothing.
But Coach Wilson said the team has already moved on, and he's happy they did it.
Man, it sounds almost militant, right? You cannot request pizza. You must eat the chicken salad.
Apparently chicken salad was the only thing they had.
Yeah.
I do not like chicken salad. Well, I'm a very picky eater. I would not last 5 minutes in that organization, apparently.
Somebody asked, I guess somebody brought in a pizza. That was what happened. Somebody
just happened to have pizza.
And he said, can I get a slice? Yeah. And they said, no.
I don't know if they have them on any strict diet. Maybe they want the team members on a strict diet before the first game. But I don't understand. People can get fired for anything, I guess.
Seems
weird.
Apparently,
choosing pizza over chicken salad is one of the reasons.
He said, I meant no disrespect. I just don't like chicken salad, but apparently you must eat what is being rolled out.
Yeah, he tweeted when the documentary aired. He's like, wild. That's the only thing he tweeted. The Maulers did release a statement saying that it was a pattern of issues that led to his release.
Oh.
He tweeted back, so you're calling me a liar. So there's a big back and forth going on, and I have a feeling this is far from over.
Well, listen, if he's a good player, somebody else will pick him up.
That is true. That is true. And wedding planning can be an extremely stressful time for all involved, so setting out what's expected of your guests beforehand may be a good way to take some of that edge off. Maybe not. A couple has gone viral on TikTok after sharing their list of extreme expectations for their wedding guests. The video from Colorado wedding photographer Caitlin Roscoe captioned, "Hyping ourselves to tell our wedding guests," which has amassed 11.4 million views and 1.7 million comments in 3 days. It has 4 simple rules. No jeans, no kids, no favors. They're not giving out any favors. Mm-hmm. And no plus ones.
Okay.
None of which seems too extreme to me. And as the internet, has opinions on it. Most are supportive, I will say. Literally had someone show up to a brother's wedding in short overalls. It was a very formal wedding, a very formal venue. And never understood wedding favors. The favor is you get to watch people dance and watch me look beautiful. I like that. And some, of course, were not on their side. Not allowing plus ones is cheap and tacky. And so you care about the person you're inviting, just not the person they care about to bring.
Well, that's a terrible argument. I mean, some people just can't afford to pay for that extra dish. Like, if I'm laying out the money, I get to make the rules.
And sometimes you could take this as a hint. Maybe we don't like the person you're bringing.
That's also an excellent point. Yeah, but no plus ones. That's not for you to weigh in on.
Exactly.
As a guest.
I had this conversation with my wife last night. We were talking about this, and I just don't. Yeah. If you, why would you think that you get to bring somebody?
Yeah.
I'm inviting you, just you.
That's right.
The invitation says just you.
That's right. When you have your wedding, you can invite everybody.
Exactly,
you can invite plus twos
See
and threes
how that
if
goes.
You want. That's right. But when you're laying out the money for the dish, you get to make the rules.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the world is throwing everything it has at you. And to succeed, you need someone to guide you through. That's what Dell Technologies advisors do. They have the Windows PCs and tech advice to help you navigate whatever challenges you're up against and get you safely to where you want to be. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Tuesday. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. 9 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Ukrainian President Zelensky says Russia has begun the battle for Donbas, with very large parts of the Russian army now focused on the offensive. He also says Russian forces are increasing pressure in some other regions with continued rocket strikes. Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby.
We don't have a clear sense of battle damage assessment about what they were targeting and what they hit. At this time, we don't have any indication that Western aid was targeted and or hit or destroyed.
Number two.
The State Department says the U.S. has yet to see any evidence that China is providing material support to Russia in its ongoing war. Still, U.S. officials continue to watch for indications Beijing is helping Moscow in any way, including with sanctions evasion.
Number three.
Vice President Kamala Harris has announced the U.S. government has committed to ending the practice of anti-satellite missile tests, and she urged other nations to follow its lead.
This debris presents a risk to the safety of our astronauts, our satellites, and our growing commercial presence.
An anti-satellite weapons, or ASAT test, is a military demonstration in which a spacecraft in orbit is destroyed using a missile system. A federal judge's decision to strike down a national mask mandate was met with cheers on some airplanes, but also concern about whether now's the time to end it. The major airlines and many of the busiest airports rushed to drop their requirements after the TSA announced it wouldn't enforce the directive that applied to airplanes, airports, taxis, and other mass transit. But the ruling still gives those entities the option to keep their mask rules in place, resulting in directives that could vary from city to city. Federal authorities say they will not criminally charge Jason Van Dyke, the Chicago police officer convicted of murder in the 2014 shooting death of black teenager Laquan McDonald. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Chicago says the decision was made after consulting with the McDonald family. Van Dyke, who was captured on video shooting the teenager 16 times, was convicted in 2018 of second-degree murder. The world's skinniest skyscraper has been completed, adding a new landmark to Manhattan's famous skyline. Steinway Tower on West 57th has a height-to-width ratio of 24 to 1, making it the most slender skyscraper in the world. The building includes 60 apartments in 84 stories.
Okay, so a studio apartment in that place. $7.7 million. The penthouse, a bargain at $66 million.
Let's do it.
Wow. Thank you, Jen.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
Thanks for joining us. Mercury retrograde is one of the best-known astrological events, a time when the planet Mercury appears to move backward, an illusion caused when it laps Earth's orbit. Astrology adherents usually organize their schedules around it to dodge planetary-induced chaos. Now, their calendars are getting trickier. This year, the retrograde will occur four times instead of the usual three. The Wall Street Journal says people who believe in bad luck foresee an extra spell of it and are having to rejigger parties, trips, and projects. The next retrograde is expected to last about 3 weeks between May 10 and June 2. Julia Lamb, a hotel receptionist in California, said she would reluctantly put off asking for a promotion at work until after then. Susan Goodell of Chicago faults Mercury retrograde for a 2020 trading glitch. She put a stop order in for her gold investments, but it failed to activate. The 66-year-old lost about $1,000 in a handful of days, a large sum of money for a self-employed investor. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.